You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 17 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Nick Kuntz on markets, Johan Erasmus talking commodities in your ETFs, and Ford Asset Management on clean tech, and they have a stock worth having a look at. MoneyWeb now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Some segments of SA construction industry recovering well. We certainly saw that in Robex results last week. And in fact, Robex CEO is commenting that the best activity that he has seen in 30 years. Business Day, government motor industry edging towards strategy on electric cars. We expect some announcement on policy from Ibrahim Patel shortly. Nice idea. Policy is great, but I think we're a long way from really making it work. If nothing else, I don't know about you, but my lights went out last night. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.5%, Nasdaq up 2.3%. Asia mixed this morning, Sydney up 0.3%, Tokyo down 1.4%. Commodities, green, gold 1,852, Rand 1415. Top 40 looking for a green open, about 220 points higher, that's about a third of a percent.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager at Sunlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. The question at the moment that I think is probably the one that matters: U.S. inflation, transitory or structural? What's your take on those numbers we saw last week, and truthfully that we will see in the months ahead?
Yeah, morning, Sam. Yeah, I think this is certainly, you're touching on a debate that I think we're going to be discussing for the rest of the year, and how you position yourselves in the next sort of 12 to 18 months as a money manager is going to determine if you make money or not with this inflation debate. I mean, we've seen, iron, copper, lumber, cotton, computer chips, oil, you name it. I mean, I saw something the other day, milk futures up 30%. Yes, we do trade milk futures. Pretty much the everything rally they're calling it. And I mean, I'm in the camp that I battle to see Mr. Jay Powell and them talking about a transitory sort of a move in inflation when this is not an April number or one hit number. I mean, these commodities and these assets and these soft commodities have been rallying since January. We're now 5 months in and they're all sitting at record highs. So I'll battle to see how this doesn't in some shape or form become inflationary.
And then if it is, not structural in the sense of what we saw in the 70s and 80s, but certainly not quite as transitory as we thought. I mean, typically inflation is lack of markets initially, but at some point, if the Fed does have to blink and push some rates, then that's not the best news for markets.
Not the best news, but I think let's make it clear. Everyone's getting a little bit carried away with is inflation good or bad? Mm. I mean, inflation is not, as you said, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Inflation implies growth. You want to see inflation. The difference is you don't want a huge jump. You don't want a spike in inflation or runaway inflation. Mm-hmm. Now, that's bad. That's a bad thing. But inflation's not necessarily bad just on its own. I just think, in the contents of a lot of, I saw a funny comment, a lot of market watchers that are in the market these days, haven't ever seen inflation. If you sort of been in this game 10 years, you've had zero inflation. And you forget what it's like to trade in an inflationary environment. But inflation, as you said, it's not bad. I mean, it's good for commodities. You've seen commodities running. It is good for some things. The concern, I guess, for most people, and I'm in that camp, is that you don't want the Fed and these central banks around the world to get behind the curve. I mean, they've been printing. Liquidity is sloshing around the marketplace. We can see where it's going into speculative assets. And the bath has been filling up, as they say, and I think it's starting to overflow. And we've got to be a little bit careful there. And I think we've certainly seen the bottom of rates around the world for the time being.
Yeah, and I take your point. Being behind the curve, and I know that that's what IMPC worries about perhaps most of all. It's one thing for inflation. It's another thing to be behind the curve. Then things get messy. A quick last one, long for life. I don't know how much of the stock you look at. I mean, massive discount to net asset value. We're seeing that with all the holdcos on the JSE. Brian Joffe is saying, we're going to unlock some value. Can he? I mean, is there an opportunity here, or is it perhaps, you know, Mr. Joffe, you know, tried, didn't work, and I'm not convinced we're going to get to that, what, $7 odd for NAV?
No, it's a difficult one, but you, again, touched on that point. It's nothing unusual on the JSE. Just look at Nasdaq to see what a discount things are trading at. Long for life, I think it's quite an interesting play. What I quite like about this particular counter, look, it's up 40-odd percent, 45% year to date. I mean, it's had a good run, but it's got sitting on a nice big chunky cash pile, which you expect a deal maker like Mr. Joffe to put to work. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of corporate action here. Or worst case scenario, if he doesn't think the market gives it value, Simon, I mean, who says he doesn't take it private, take it off the bourse, which would be a disappointment. But I think certainly that at current levels, sort of south of R5 a share, yeah, I like the share.
Okay, man, take that cash. And he is, I mean, hasn't worked his plan, but I think certainly never count out Brian Joffe. This is what he does, what he has done. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the time this morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore. While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Johan Erasmus. He's Executive Director at One Invest SA. Johan, appreciate your early morning time. We're just chatting with Nick Kuntz there and talking around commodities. And he was mentioning sort of the softs, everything, milk, orange juice, lumber. I mean, everything going mad. We're seeing it in the precious as well, industrials. And you, I mean, in the sense, is this, I mean, something which you know, belongs in a portfolio? I've always been a little nervous around them, but truthfully, that nervousness for me is costing me some cash, whether it be one of the PGMs or even just good old-fashioned gold.
Morning, Simon. Yes, I think the commodities have become even more topical these days, especially around all the inflation fears. And it's a bit of a chicken and egg, because as the commodity prices are rising, yes, they themselves then push the inflation as well as it becomes more and more expensive to start producing finished goods because of the raw material or the commodities going into them.
Yeah, and I suppose, so, and it, as you say, it does become that. I mean, do they, in your sense, I mean, I remember way back in the day, you know, we're going back to the 80s now, my grandfather was always, you must have some commodities. Of course, back then it was gold, and it was actually a Kruger Rand, which you then had to go and hide somewhere. We didn't yet know about exchange-traded funds and the like. I mean, the classic idea of some commodities in a portfolio is really, at this point in the equation, working well. I mean, markets are great, but commodities are the greatest part of that market.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's always you need to distinguish between gold, because gold for me is an investment metal. It's got some industrial uses, but not that much, where people just hold it as a hedge for volatile markets, but for inflation and for security when the markets are downturn. Where most of the other commodities are more for consumption, and they get used. And it's because of this usage that drives the demand and the pricing. So one has to distinguish between the two for me. Then again, if you have a look at what's going on, so yes, we've seen quite a people referring to post-COVID demand spurts or usage spurts. So you see everything is up. But then one, if you look at the bigger picture and the macro picture, and everybody refers to it as the super cycle, which you need to think is the world is re-electrifying, if I can put it that way. And because we're changing how we're consuming energy, all of that is going to push certain commodities more than others. And if I equate to it, in the 80s, nobody had a PC. Everybody had to get PCs. Mm-hmm. In the 90s and 2000s, everybody had to get smartphones. Now, where we are currently in the 2020s, everybody needs to re-electrify, and it's It's from solar panels to electric cars to, as we're moving away from fossil fuels, and that's going to put some extra demand on commodities that are unique to that part of the equation. So, but at this stage, yeah, you rightfully said anything from soft space, energy, there's nothing that's not going up right now.
And I mean, our commodities, they're almost not a bottom draw. And I mean, I want to touch on the, I want to get your view on rhodium in a moment, which is an insane commodity. Your ETF is, what, less than $100 5 years ago, now almost, if I'm checking my zeros right,
four.
I think, almost 4,000. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
When these aren't so much bottom draw, the hard part with them is knowing when to take the money, because I've got to be honest, if I'd owned your ETF, and I don't, I would have taken money at, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, yet here we sit at almost 4.
Yeah, that's the hardest part with a commodity, is because if you own a share or a fixed income instrument, you're at least getting some dividends or some interest as you go on. Where a commodity is purely a capital growth play. And you spot on, Simon. It's when you sell that. But I think we're really in a bull market for the commodities. So I think that's going to run for quite a while. And I think also as the consumption and as I said the re-electrification, that's one part of it. The supply part of it is also there because if you think again commodities are very different. On the softs, your replacement cycle is quite quick.
Yeah.
If there's a shortage of maize, we plant maize, within a year we've got maize. With your base and your metal commodities and your precious metals, those cycles are a lot longer because you just don't overnight decide to sink a mine shaft and start mining. That process takes long. So we definitely got some supply constraints, and that's going to last for a while still as well. So I think there's still quite a bit of legs in the commodities.
Yeah, and we're seeing certainly in the PGM space some talk around increased production, but even that increase is, you know, Implats is going to add 5% extra production. It's going to take them 3 to 5 years. That's not significant.
Correct.
And you were talking around energy and the like. You know, PGMs are your green metal. I mean, they are the, we can talk around coal as a commodity of the past. PGMs are the commodity of the future in many aspects.
Yeah, definitely. PGMs currently, as they're currently being used in the autocats, but then as well as future technology, platinum's got a space in the conversion for hydrogen. There's definitely, and then there's also further metals that are coming in. Think about copper, lithium, all of that. So you call it the new age metals is how they refer to. That's coming on stream and being used more and more. And so I think we're definitely going to see for the foreseeable future, we're definitely going to see these prices rise. And as these commodities and the inflation fears drive, it's definitely, I think, everything's just going to become more expensive for us. If you think of buying a car, everything that goes, it's from the PGMs, it's aluminium, it's steel, it's a basket of commodities that make up the vehicle, and so we're just gonna in future pay more for everything that we're currently using.
Yeah, that inflation fear. Johanna Rasmus, Executive Director, One Invest SA. We've got that rhodium ETF, which is looking at that chart. It's absolutely staggering. Johanna, appreciate the time. Our poll today on our LinkedIn, our Twitter, and our Facebook. Commodities are cyclical. When they run very, very hard. My question is, do you have someone in your overall portfolio? I do, but I have it indirectly via Sibanye and Billiton. I don't own the individual commodity itself.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Brian Ossie. He is a portfolio manager at Ford Asset Management, on the line from Singapore. Brian, appreciate your early morning. We were talking there a moment ago around sort of green energy, green metals, chatting to you around green tech. And it's been sort of bubbling under for a while, but really it's starting to take off with renewed vigor. We've got China proposing carbon neutral by 2060. We've got President Biden rejoining the Paris Agreement. Canceling the pipeline, which has been on and off over the years. My sense is very much is this is going to be the decade and the decades following for green tech and green tech as an investment opportunity.
Hi, Simon. No, thank you for having me. I think you're absolutely correct. Certainly, the Europeans have led over the past handful of years, with the Americans lagging significantly behind. But with the new administration in place, Biden has come out moving targets forward, obviously rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, but even the infrastructure bills that he's put forth, though they haven't been passed yet, a significant portion of them is investing in green tech in the U.S. and really bringing forward that carbon neutral date. And even California, for example, talking about doing so by 2035. So to your point, I think that these investments have accelerated and are likely to only accelerate from here.
Yeah, and I mean, and we're talking giant numbers. I mean, you know, the infrastructure spend Biden's talking around is trillions. Europe has got a trillion of public funding. What this, of course, has done is there's some stocks that are at very lofty values because of this sort of wall of money that's coming. In the space, we need to be perhaps a little bit clever as to which stocks are the ones to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the pure play renewable energy companies like pure play wind farm manufacturers, for example, they're exceedingly expensive, sort of 45 or 50 times earnings for putting in the ground projects where the returns are sort of high single digit, but also for returns that may be unknown, because a lot of these companies don't have the experience necessarily in putting in such large scale projects historically. Where we think there's more value in the space, interestingly, are in some of the sectors that had previously been ignored by investors. So if you look at U.S. or European utilities themselves, companies that are trading at less than a market multiple are investing significantly to transition from traditional fossil fuel into green energy. And along with that, these companies are highly regulated and get compensated on the capital that they put in the ground, be it for generation capacity on the renewable side or to upgrade the grid itself, which certainly needs significant upgrading both in Europe and in the U.S. Those companies we see continue to trade at less than a market multiple, but actually having fairly steady growth in the double-digit range. And that growth, to your point, with the additional spending coming, is only likely to accelerate from here.
Yeah,
and really needs to if you're going to hit the targets.
Yeah, I mean, the one stock you mentioned is Quantas Services. I hadn't heard of it at all. It's in your global equity fund at Ford. And in essence, they're doing maintenance of electrical grids, the construction. And you kind of look at that and think, boring. But actually, they're in the right space. They're going to benefit. And as per the note that you put out last week, they are actually at attractive valuations.
Absolutely. That's one of the names that we really have a lot of conviction in. I mean, when we put it in the portfolio 24 months or so ago, it was even a bit more undiscovered than it is now, sort of trading at 12 or 13 times earnings. But the core business, 90% of what they do is just base business of maintaining and upgrading the electric transmission grid in the U.S. Now, the accelerating growth going forward is that obviously not only do you need to maintain what's there currently, but you really need to invest significantly to replace it because it's just not designed to handle both the increase in volumes that you would need, sort of 60 to 100% increase in electricity volumes just through charging EVs, for example, and then also obviously having power move two ways on a grid. Into a home and then out of a home if that home is generating solar. So the business now trades at closer to a market multiple, but I think that analysts continue to underestimate the growth that they'll be able to generate going forward.
That's Quanta Services that Brian is talking about. Brian Arcis, Portfolio Manager, Forward Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings No. 4, will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial services provider, license number 50. 483. On Friday on our social medias, our poll on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn, we're asking, we spoke with Keith McClassen around complexity, and we asked, as an investor, where do you do your research? Are you looking for simple? You're looking for complex? More than half of you said keep it simple. That's me, absolutely. A few of you like the complexity, and then a bunch, around 35-40% were bits of both, but I agree with that. Don't go too complicated, things can get a horror. And of course, our new poll on commodities on our social networks as well. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.